I'm not sure if you've noticed, but over the past few seasons, it has been raining goals in Serie A. I know, Serie A, right? But the fact is that each of the last three seasons have averaged more goals per game than across any of the last 70 years. Well, luckily for us, analyst managing editor Ollie Hopkins dove into the details. And in this special Behind the Article podcast, he joins me for a chat about his findings and perhaps why we should be all tuning in our TVs to the Italian top flight. At the end of this episode, I'll be back to give you more insight into where you can read and hear more great data-driven storytelling like this. But first, here's my chat with Ollie Hopkins. So Ollie, fascinating bit of research this one. Really enjoyed having a sit and read of this. I'm going to have to start with a very, very obvious question with this one. What actually started drawing your attention to what's going on in Serie A at the moment?
Yeah, well thanks, Graham. I guess it sort of started at the start of this year in January, looking through the scores on my scores app across Europe. And on January the 9th, there's a very, very peculiar set of scores from Italy. You had, you know, games like Empoli 1, Sassuolo 5, Juve beat Roma 4-3 coming from behind. Udinese lost at home 6-2 to Atalanta. And I was like, there's just so many goals going on in this kind of this one set of fixtures. 39 goals across those 10 games, in fact. And I was like, that's a lot of goals.
I mean, simple maths tells me it's 3.9 goals per game. Yeah. So, I mean, even I can do that math.
So I thought, okay, that's a lot of goals. Yeah. So I looked at the season so far and sort of compared match day records. And only two match days across the big five leagues in Europe have beaten that record this season. So match day 14 of the Bundesliga saw 41 goals. Cool. And number nine in the Premier League score saw 40 goals. So a ton of goals, and seems like you get one of these sort of big result really every week in Italy. So in the last weekend, it was Roma beating Empoli 4-2. Week before that, Fiorentina smash Genoa 6-0 at home. So you seem to get a high scoring game every weekend. And going back this season and even beyond that, to the last two before the season, it's a trend that I've just spotted and thought, actually, something's going on here. It's worthwhile exploring.
Yeah, I mean, so many people here in Britain sort of 30s, 40s, 50s grew up, and Saturdays and Sundays were spent watching Channel 4, watching Football Italia, and obviously, there's still a lot around that these days with Jane Richardson and the late, great Peter Brackley, who I was delighted to work with. And it was a bit of a moment as I moved through my career where all of a sudden you're like, this is the guy who used to voice my Saturday and Sundays, and I got to work with him. And he very much missed his Peter. But my memory of those moments, and I can even remember talking to Peter about it, was it didn't exactly scream out goal frenzies to me. I don't remember sitting there thinking, hang on here, I've got these 4-2 games and these 6-0 games. I seem to remember sitting through a lot of 1-0s and a lot of like one goal, two goal games and such. Like, and is that rather an unfair comment, like overall in the history of Serie A, or is it genuinely just a league that until these last couple of seasons genuinely was slightly lower scoring compared to others?
It does depend on what era you watch. I mean, the historical average of all Serie A goals per game is 2.53. But of course, as you mentioned, not all eras are created equal. So if you were watching at the start of the competition, so early 30s, you had a lovely time, lots of goals there. You know, the first official season of Serie A, you know, scored, the matches averaged 3.17 goals per game, which is the second highest ever. So obviously people were very happy about, you know, the new league being formed and banging in loads of goals as a result. 30 sort of hover around the average of about 2.6. So it's a decent era. Yeah. Now, in the 40s, everyone gets bored of those average goals per game and, you know, start almost going back to type and bagging them in again. So the 40s, you know, is a kind of a slow rise to more goals a game, and actually that culminates in the highest scoring season in history. So that was 49-50. He got 3.33 goals a game, which is an absolute ton. And in that season, actually, the top three teams in the league, Juve, Milan and Inter, basically combined to score a quarter of those goals in total as just the trio. And Milan, who scored 118 goals that season, didn't even win the league. They came second. So pretty brutal for them. But I suppose to your point that you mentioned, from there, we go to 60s, 70s, 80s. It's a very cagey era as the concept of Catenaccio really takes hold in Italy. And, you know, you're seeing across those decades, probably about two goals a game, if you're lucky. There's one very crazy example of Empoli in towards the end of the 86, 87 season, where they scored 13 goals in 30 games and yet survived relegation. So, you know, somehow they managed to survive. So, yeah, I suppose in when you're watching, not the best highlight reel on show. But thankfully, since the 80s into the 90s, and obviously now we're seeing historical highs. So it's kind of looking like almost like a reverse U-shape in terms of the goal trends throughout history of the league.
It's very good there that you've given a visualisation within the podcast where you can sit there and everyone's able to go, I get your reverse U-bed now, I understand that.
I'm drawing it in the air and I realize, no one can see this.
But that's why I recommend that you all do head over to theanalyst.com and do have a read of Ollie's article as well. There's a lot of, as ever, as you would expect from us here at The Analyst, lots of great data visualization within there as well.
So there's a way I could get you to plug the site
exactly.
by doing that.
This is how it works. Yeah. It just flows like this. You see that. And yeah, that Empoli season really is quite something it's not the number of goals that you score, it's when you score them and how you score them and what they mean. I think that was sometimes the proof.
I mean they survived by 1 point, so you know every goal in that season for them mattered. So
13
games.
The next time your team, whoever you support, is going on a terrible run and I can talk as a Reading fan here, obviously pretty bad run at the moment the Royals are on, but even that game against Huddersfield, they're scoring goals. Like Reading scored 3 goals in that defeat and we're sort of four goals. For Empoli, that would have been like a third of their goals, a quarter of their goals of the season. So don't ever think that your team is really struggling. So just help put us in the picture here, because obviously what's the situation across the other top five leagues in Europe? Are we seeing a similar goal glut? Is it just an overall trend across the top five European leagues, as we describe them, which is France, Spain, Italy, England, and Germany? Yeah. Is it just something that's happening in every league, or is Serie A being a little bit of an outlier?
Yeah, I suppose, to answer your question, yes and no, really. But not really close to what we're seeing in Italy currently. So the current Premier League season is currently on track to be the most goal-friendly season on record, with 2.83 goals per game that are currently averaging, which is, I suppose, it's more than it's been in the past, but it's not exactly a massive outlier compared to the 2.66 goals on average across its brief history. Nor is there much evidence that the goal tally is trending upwards like we're seeing in Italy. The season just gone ranked 12th highest for goals per game, and then one before that ranked 8th. So there's not this, collective culmination of goals. Yes, you see the kind of the top five highest scoring seasons in Premier League history have come from 2010 onwards, but in there you've got 2011-12 and 2012-13. So there's not that kind of upward peak, so to speak. La Liga is the opposite, a complete snooze fest right now. You know, the last 3 seasons have averaged 2.5 goals a game, which is super, super low. And actually, each of the last 3 seasons appear in the 5 lowest scoring seasons in league history in this century. So, you know, basically, we're seeing what happens when you lose Ronaldo, lose Messi from leagues. Surprise, surprise, the goals absolutely plummet. So La Liga is not the place to go for goals right now. Germany, it loves goals, that league, but it always has. So the last 4 seasons have seen the goals per game ratio eclipse 3 each of the time. But actually, as a whole, the league is far more high scoring anyway, and averages over 3 goals per game on average anyway. So, you know, there are a lot of goals, but we're not seeing the kind of the outlier-ness that we're seeing in Italy. And Ligue 1 is, you know, seeing 2.8 goals a game. Fun, good stuff. A bit higher than average, but not really anything to kind of really write home about. I think 28 seasons have seen more goals per game than that. So Italy seems to have this kind of combination of, you know, absolute high goals per game, but also it's sticking out like a sore thumb in recent, you know, recent years. And it should be said that the last three seasons in Italy have seen more goals per game than the last 70. So you really are seeing a big upwards peak in the goal scoring.
It's a proper outlier, and I think that's basically confirming to me that La Liga is the new Serie A, I feel. Pretty soon that'll be on Channel 4. No, I'm only joking anyway. But is there anything else right now in football that might be sort of affecting this? I mean, it can count both ways. I think we have seen a little bit with the introduction of things like VAR and certainly the improvement in sort of goal line technology and all of this stuff. Is that having an influence on this? Is there a direct cause and effect?
Yeah, well, VAR was one of the first things that I looked at when, you know, seeing this trend and trying to figure out what the hell is going on, because, you know, I thought, okay, it's got to be VAR and penalties. Surely that is the link. Obviously, when we all remember kind of VAR coming in during the World Cup in 2018 and seeing a huge spike of penalties that came as a result of that. And obviously we've seen sort of huge spikes in the Premier League, close to home, you know, where you get penalty if it went anywhere near a player's hands. So that was my first port of call. So VAR was brought into Serie A in the 2017-2018 season. Since then, we've seen roughly 0.3 penalty goals per game. So prior to VAR, that was at 0.25. So we're seeing, you know, 0.05 more penalty goals a game, which is a slight increase. But actually, over the course of the season, that's only about 19 extra goals. So it's not going to move the needle that much. And it doesn't seem to be the direct cause for this goal scoring glut. But during the penalty analysis, what is maybe more telling is the fact that in the post-VAR era, we're seeing almost 80% of penalties being converted, which is actually a lot higher than sort of 75-ish rate pre-VAR. So people are obviously practicing in training. That conversion rate is something that actually was quite intriguing and actually led on to the next bit of research.
Yeah, indeed. And it's funny because sort of when you're just talking about it there, and also you talked about the famous Empoli 13 goal season, and you sort of looking up, were they an outlier within that league? Obviously, overall was quite low. And I've just literally pulled this up, and I'm looking. Obviously, Diego Maradona was playing in Serie A at this time, and his Napoli side only scored 41 goals, and it really is that it I don't want to say it in these terms because we're talking about Diego Maradona here, one of the greatest players ever. Mm-hmm. Are players just getting better these days?
I mean, that could well be true. The issue is that it's quite hard to, you know, quantifiably measure betterness. And there's a lot of things that go into, you know, goals being scored, you know, defensive systems, goalkeeper ability, the way that coaches have kind of encouraged people to now play from the back more often. Obviously, we play. Serie A now is in a four-man defence era versus the sort of the five-man libero sort of style of defensive that happened during that period of time.
So maybe there's a better way I can describe it. I think it feeds into the research you've done on the conversion rate, which for me was the bit that really stood out. As much as obviously the overall fact about there are more, it's the conversion rate, because that begs the question. It might not be the skill level of the players might be the same, but it might be they're actually being smarter these days.
Well, yeah. So if you look at the volume of shots per game, you know, you might think that more goals are being scored, therefore more shots are being taken, because, you know, shots equal goals, generally speaking. But actually the volume of shots is going down. If you look at that data trended like year over year, but actually the conversion rate of those shots is going up, you know, steadily going up. So, you know, you've seen the last three seasons that the shot conversion rates have eclipsed 10% in each of those three seasons, which are three of the four highest records we have on total. So, you know, it's not that players are taking more shots, it's that they're scoring with more of the shots that they do take. So I think that they're being a bit more smarter with where they are shooting from. I think that's probably the real crux of the argument, I think, is that shot location is smarter, is better. If you look at the kind of proportion of shots inside the box that players are now taking, you know, that is trending upwards at actually a far higher rate than even the goals is. Mm-hmm. So it's the players are shooting closer to the goal on average, getting inside the penalty box, and you know, when you shoot from there, better chance of it going in because you're closer to the goal essentially. And it really does feel like, you know, players, whether or not they're told to, whether they're kind of intuitively, you know, embodying it, are really putting the theory of XG into practice. You know, generally speaking, shots closer to the goal have a better chance of going in. So getting the ball into the box before pulling the trigger is generally a better tactic to score a goal. So, you know, that would back up the fact that we're seeing, you know, more shots go in as a proportion of shots taken, a higher sort of proportion of shots be taken inside the box itself. And also we are seeing that the distance on average is shrinking. We've got data here that, you know, at the start of the last decade, you know, we're seeing the average shot be taken about 20 meters out. Whereas this season, you know, that's way down to almost 17.5. So you're seeing a shrink in the distance that people are shooting from, which I think is really looking at, that goes to show the increase in goals per game. And you're seeing, you know, XG per game as well rise together with the goals per game. You're seeing XG really rise per game kind of in conjunction with the rising goals per game. So if players are being coached or just are taking it, you know, they're being smarter with their shot selection essentially.
Yeah, and again, it's well worth going in to look at the article on theanalyst.com just to see some of this the charts and the data viz that we have available for this, because it really does help you understand. And you mentioned about XG there, and obviously XG's been around so many years now, it's no longer just something that's spoken about within football club circles. It is part of the vernacular of the sport these days. And obviously, there are those who are probably listening to the podcast going, "I knew you were going to talk about XG," but sadly,
had to be here.
This is the facts of the matter. It allows us to tell the story better. And I think it helps also explain it to players better as well. Like, these are the guys at the end of the day who have to execute what happens in the game. And if you turn around to a player and go, "I think you're better off taking a shot in the box than outside the box," they're probably going, "Nah, but I can score from that." But if you give them the cold, hard data, which we've got, and I'm sure that there are teams who are utilizing Opta data and such like to make these decisions, that's going to change it up. But there's also something else we can add in. It's not just XG that we, like, that's a 10-year-old metric. We have more metrics that help us. So it then begs the next question, which is, okay, players, we can't be sure they're getting better. We can be kind of sure they're getting smarter and making better decisions. But also, does that now mean that there's something on the goalkeepers? Are the goalkeepers not as talented, or because they're facing tougher shots, they're seeing more go in? And that's where expected goals on target really.
Absolutely, yeah. So this was almost like a bit of a bonus theory that I just thought about. You know,
have you put in the papers for this theory yet? I mean, this is the question. We need to get the papers in for this now.
Because obviously, you can't look at a goal scored article trends without looking at the people who are paid to stop the shots going in. And here's where we can use XG on target to really help us almost isolate what happens after the shot's taken. So you can have two shots that are taken from the same area of the pitch. One goes, you know, top bins, and one goes to the keeper's, you know, right into his chest. XGOT tells us that the one in the top corner has a far higher chance of being a goal than the one that goes down the middle. So that's what the model is used for. It's a post-XG shot model that tells us, okay, what is the probability of that shot going in once it's hit the target, basically? And given that XGOT measures the probability of shots going into the goal, the only factor that makes them stop going into the goal is the goalkeeper. So you can look at those values, look at what keepers save, what value shots, and start to work out, okay, you know, of the players in the league, who is the best at preventing goals? And what's very interesting about this is actually in the last three seasons, they've been historically bad at doing what they're primarily employed to do. So, you know, so far this season, they've sort of conspired to collectively let in 70 more goals than they should have done according to the XGOT model. You know, we're just over halfway through the season, and that's already the worst it's ever been on record. And you know, last season it wasn't much better. It was almost 66 more goals than they should have conceded. Year before that, it's about 40. So it's not looking great for the current stock of keepers who are, you know, keeping in Italy. Now, you can't just say keepers are bad. Yeah. It's a very lazy thing to take. So obviously, you know, there are more factors at play, including the defence in front of them. But also now keepers are being picked not just to save shots, but also to kind of link play and build play from the back with their feet. So it's not just, can't just say that they're bad, but actually, you know, on the face of it, it looks like they're having trouble, you know, saving shots more than they used to. You know, we've got, I looked at the top 20 best performances individually for keepers in terms of preventing goals in a single campaign. You know, of the top 20, 15 came in between 2011 and 2014. So a really front-loaded part of last decade. And, you know, that was prime Buffon, Handanovic, Abbiati, like these prime keepers. So it's not a surprise really that kind of we saw a real I guess goalkeeping masterclass start of the decade, and now not so much. You know, we're seeing them struggle to kind of prevent the shots that they're facing on target, which, you know, that does is going to lead to goals.
And again, that's just where analytics is prevailing in the sport now, is that players are not just realizing where to take shots are important in terms of XG, but where the shot goes is also important in terms of XGOT. And all that does result eventually in is a higher chance of goals. And I think you succinctly do this brilliantly in your final paragraph of the article. I think it's superbly weighed, and I'm going to steal your words here. So, but Ollie wrote, in many ways, the explosion of goals in Serie A captures the sometimes intangible feeling that analytics are playing an ever-increasing role in the game. Players are shooting less frequently, but making sure that they are taking higher quality shots from closer locations, increasing their likelihood of scoring, and goalkeepers are finding it harder than ever to keep the ball out of the net.
That's the podcast in about 2 minutes.
We've just wasted 20-odd minutes of your life here, ladies and gentlemen. We could have just done that. But I think, Ollie, this was a great bit of research. It's telling the story beyond what you just see. As you say, you saw it just as scores on your phone.
Yeah.
You just, that's all you saw it as. And that is what I think a lot of people are seeing. It's all caught everybody's eye. Serie A is seeing goal gluts, and it's like, oh, that's slightly bizarre. And if it's a one-off bizarre one, I think people go, oh, it's an outlier. But there's a trend. This research that you've done has come up with theories. You have to put in some papers for some of them by the sounds of things. But it's a fascinating read. And Ollie, congratulations. Really great.
Great. Thank you.
So that was a Behind the Article special looking at what's behind the explosion of goals in Italy. An article originally written and researched by Ollie Hopkins, who was interviewed in this podcast by me, Graham Bell, who also produced this episode, with all of our music coming from Audio Network. This article originally appeared on The Analyst, the home of data-driven storytelling, which features great in-depth articles and blogs from across the sporting world, as well as specialized data visualization, season-long interactive metrics, as well as some tricky quizzes to show off your sporting knowledge to your friends and family. All of this is on theanalyst.com right now, and why not head over to our Twitter and Instagram accounts as well? You'll find us on both of them as @OptaAnalyst. In the meantime, though, you can continue to get lost in the reads from The Analyst by subscribing on your preferred podcast application, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many others, where we would also love for you to rate and review the show. We are currently running through a review of many of the milestones in Premier League history. So if the English top flight since 1992 is more of your thing, then check out the rest of the episodes on our feed. But for now, thanks for listening, and it's so long from everyone at the Reads from The Analyst.